We looked at the whole issue of Moshe's speech and Moshe's stating three different times that he can't speak very well. Kfad peh, kfad lashon at the snat, and later on in this week's parasha, he says he's an aral sfatayim twice, or at least it's recorded twice. And what I suggested last week in the shiur was one of the lines in his whole speech, which is very difficult, is Lo ish dvarim anochi gam mitmol gam mishishom gam miaz daber chel avdecha, that I have not been able to ever been an ish dvarim, whatever that may mean, ever since you've been talking to me. And so I posed two questions about that. One of them was, how does Moshe know he's not an ish dvarim? He's been in the desert. I go, where has he ever gotten in front of a crowd to talk? He knows he's not successful. And the second question was, what does it mean gam miaz daber chel avdecha? After all, this is the first time Hashem ever spoke to him, then that's a little bit of a strange statement to make. As I answer them together to say, evidently, Moshe has had an ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's been getting nevuot until now, and in every one of those nevuot, he either felt incapable or unsuccessful in speaking back, or else no need to speak back, and felt that he was not an ish dvarim. This is the first time he's had to speak, and that's the first why it's the first time it's recorded, because for the first time Hashem is actually sending him, and his response is no. And his statement, Lo ish dvarim anochi, is kind of borne out by the conversation itself. I'm not a successful speaker, because if I were a successful speaker, this conversation would have been over a while ago when I said no the first time. I'm not very good at it. And that's one approach, which I think is a worthwhile approach to investigate. Subsequently, I saw a tiny little snippet from a book. I don't have the book. That's written by Dr. Yitzhak Maitlis, who is an archaeologist. He's at Mechlalat Herzog. And the Herzog website sends out sometimes little bits from pieces that he wrote, where he took a slightly different direction, actually a hugely different direction, in the entire interaction at the snare. But it comes back to the issue of Moshe being or stating that he's not a competent speaker. He didn't address that particular point, but I want to pick up a thread that he brought out and then to go back and look at the whole scene from a very different perspective. So this is last week, take two, I guess. The whole scene of the Sneh is on the bottom of page one, and it's the entire translation is on page two. The whole English of the Sneh scene is on page two. Nothing doctored, nothing taken out, nothing highlighted, anything else. It's just all right there. Because we're all familiar with the scene, and I wanted to talk about it sort of without referring too much directly to the text, except in particular instances. But let's ask the following question. Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go. And Moshe says, no. I want you to go, I'll be with you. Moshe says, no. I mean, he has reasons, you know. Moshe says, here's my name. No. Here's some miracles. No. I mean, it's constant no. But what lies behind no? Because if you think about it, no can be an absolute no, or it can be a sort of a preferential no. For instance, if I say to you, do you want to have dinner? Say, no, I don't want to have dinner, right? But if I say to you, do you want to have dinner now? Then what do you say? No, but later. Or no, I already had dinner. In other words, you offer an alternative. So when Hashem says to him, I want you to go, Moshe says no, what's Moshe thinking here? What's the rest of the thing, which he does never says? What are the possibilities? Which means what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to go and take B'nai Yisrael to Mitzrayim, and Moshe says no. So now, what's behind the no? Therefore what? So what's supposed to play out now? Hashem says to Moshe, take him out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe says no. So what's supposed to, if according to Moshe's version of what should play out, what should be the next step be?
Find somebody else.
All right, Moshe doesn't say that, but or maybe says it at the end, sort of, but he doesn't really say it. Right? Or maybe Hashem himself should do it.
Hashem offers
at the end another option, right? So it could be Moshe saying, not me, I'm humble, I'm not worthy, get somebody who's better, right? What's another possibility? Which Rashi hints to in the comment is, not me, not nobody else. because Bnei Yisrael aren't worthy of leaving, right? Chiyotzi Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, right? And that's supposedly Rashi's explanation for why one of the simanim, one of the otot, was tzarat. Because Moshe said tzarat, said Lashon Hara about Bnei Yisrael that they won't go. Okay, what's the third possibility? So possibility one is that Moshe is saying, not me, somebody else. Right? Which breaks into two possible streams. One is somebody else will tell you his name, here's his phone number, or somebody else, you find him. Then there's possibility two, which is not me, because they're not worth it. The whole mission shouldn't happen. What's the third possibility? Good, so let's read it, because I've never heard anybody consider that as a possibility. But I'd like to suggest that that is exactly what's going on in this entire debate at the stand, and we're going to walk step by step and walk it through, and we're going to see that this entire piece is not a refusal, which would then be parallel to Yirmiyahu, and parallel to Yeshayahu, who say, I'm not worthy, or I'm not capable, or the people, they are, I'm Tmei Shvatayim, how can I speak to them? That there's a fundamental disagreement going on here, and it's maybe even closer, in a sense, to the whole Yonah story, but not on the same plane at all.
But, you know, I guess that's ultimately how the way that God is described.
Lo, ooh, exactly. You looked at the title. Exactly. Look at that. Look at that. Anif lo malach. There we go. That means you are. You are a malach. It's on without. Right? You're a navi. Okay? That's exactly the issue. And as a side point, the huge emphasis that we place on anivalo malach, anivalo saraf, anivalo ashaliach, which of course we know almost assuredly is an anti-Christian polemic because of the whole intersection of Christianity and Judaism around the Pesach Seder and everything else. But there's another piece to the puzzle, and Moshe's near total removal from the Haggadah. One pasuk that mentions him, Derech Agav, but he's really not part of the story, and the story is about God taking the Jewish people out, which is inaccurate to the text. Because in the text, it's Moshe, and Moshe and Aharon, and Moshe and Aharon and the Zekanim in the middle of everything, especially Moshe and Aharon, in the middle of everything. And yet, in the Haggadah, we elide that. We don't read from Shemot, we read from Dvarim, which Hashem taking us out. And so there's something going on there, so let's take a look. Two quick prefaces, as you could see. One of them, and we have to remember that we read Sefer Bereishit, and we say Chazak Chazak, and we maybe throw candy, depending on what it is, or a big Kiddush, and then we move on to Shemot, and it's like, new thing. And for the people at the time of Shemot, it's way more than a new thing, because it's not just, we read that 2 weeks ago, that happened 400 years ago, 300 years ago, however long it is, when Yosef was alive, 100 to it, how long, it's a several generations, we never met this guy. But we have to remember that there are certain messages that the people undoubtedly carried with them. And one of the messages that's very clear is that, at least because they responded to it, is this is not our home, and one day we're going to be going back home. And that Hashem made a promise, and there's a promise we're waiting to see fulfilled. The details, how much of it, how much do they know about Yitzchak and the Plishtim, we don't know. But the both of them, we do not. How do we know that? Because when Moshe tells them that, they respond. And they respond affirmatively. They're familiar with it. All right, so there's two pieces that happen towards the end of Bereishit that we have to keep in mind. One of them is something that Hashem says to Yaakov. I do not know if Yaakov told his kids about it. And arguendo, I'd like to say that he did, just for purposes of this. But even if not, it'll still work. Yaakov is summoned to come down to Mitzrayim by Yosef, who is alive and who is successful. Bring the family down. Yaakov stops to say farewell in Be'er Sheva. Why Be'er Sheva? That seems to be the exit point from Eretz Yisrael. From there, leaving Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem appears to him in a nevuah. And in Pasuk Bet on the page, Vayomer Elohim LeYisrael B'marot HaLaila. God appears to him at night. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. Are you familiar with that? Vayomer, Anochi ha'el Elohe avicha. I am the God who is the God of your fathers. Al tira merda mitzrayma. Don't be afraid of going down. This is the top source. Ki legoi gadol asima chasham. I will make you a great nation there. And this is the part that really kicks. Anochi ered imcha mitzrayma. What does that mean? I'm going to go down with you. V'anochi alcha gam alo. And I will also bring you up. Now, on a local level, that gets fulfilled when Yaakov is brought back to Eretz Canaan for burial. But Anochi Alcha Gamalo may have other echoes, and we'll see. Last thing is, it is the last thing, is that Yosef, on his deathbed, evidently, says to his brothers, and he says it twice here, V'yom Yosef Alachav Anochi Meit, I'm about to die. V'Elohim Pakod Yifkod Etchem, God will surely remember you, V'he'ela Etchem, again that word, to bring you up, Min ha'aretz hazot el ha'aretz asher nishba l'Avraham l'Yitzchak Yaakov, the land he promised to my father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And the next pasuk is the last one. Yosef dies and he's put in the Aron HaMitzrayim. So this Pakod Yifkod was twice on Yaakov, on Yosef's deathbed. It's that God will surely remember you and bring you out and bring you up to the land. We don't know, although the Midrash assumes this from the get-go, whether or not Pakod Yifkod was some sort of a tradition passed on. But there's every reason to think so, because it's the big oath that Yosef gave his brothers. And remember, his brothers have to fulfill this oath. And his brothers can't fulfill the oath because as they're on their deathbeds, within 10, 20 years, however long it is, they still haven't been brought out, so they have to tell their kids. So, likely, they're going to tell their kids, our younger brother Yosef, when he was on his deathbed, made us make an oath. And here was what he said, Pakod Yifkod Elohim Etchem. Right? Good. So this is transmitted. All right. Now let's take a look at the story of the snare through new glasses. Moshe. I'll read it in Hebrew. You can follow it in English on the back if you like. All right. So he comes to Har HaElohim. And as we saw last week, most of the Rishonim say it's called Har HaElohim because ultimately it'll be the place of revelation. I made a different suggestion last week. For our purposes, it can work either way. The bush was not consumed. Moshe is attracted by this wild vision. It's burning, but it's not consuming anything. So Hashem sees that Moshe has turned to the side to see it. God calls him, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe. Vayomer Hineni. Sounds familiar, just like Yaakov, Yaakov. Okay. Vayomer Al Tikrav Halom. Don't come too close. Shal Nalacha Me'awaglacha Kemakom Shatomer Alav Admat Kodeshu. Alright, so this is all prefatory. This is all exposition for the actual story. Here we go, here we get started. Vayomer. And now if we read the story straight, and here's where our blinders that we always put on when we read a text kick in again. Our blinders are made up of several components. One component is omniscience. We know in several stories, we know what this person's thinking, what this person's thinking, what that one knows, what that one knows. Right? We know that Yosef didn't really try to rape Mrs. Potiphar. But Potiphar doesn't know that. We know more than the characters know. We also know that Mrs. Potiphar tells Potiphar about it. Yosef doesn't know that. But so we have that's one blinder. Another blinder that we have is we know how stories end. And since we know how stories end, we don't necessarily read the development accurately because as it's developing, it hasn't yet been. So we assume that whatever message is going to happen at the end is the message intended from the beginning. Now, sometimes that's safe to assume. We certainly assume that Avram was never supposed to kill Yitzchak at the Akedah, because that's how it ends, because that would subvert the whole story if God said, nah, forget it, don't kill him. Right? But other stories that end up a certain way didn't necessarily need to play out that way, except you have to follow it to see how it develops. Let's see. Vayomer. Anochi Elohei Avicha. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. So God introduces himself as he does at the in the Sulam in Beit El, as being the God of his fathers. By the way, he doesn't introduce himself to Avram that way, right? he does introduce himself sort of to Yitzchak that way, the one time he speaks to him, one of the times when he's about to leave, but consistently to Yaakov. What's Moshe's response? And this should be foreshadowing the entire scene. Moshe looks away. Moshe doesn't want, really, this whole community backs away. Okay. Vayomer Adonai, ra'o ra'iti et oni ami asher Mitzrayim. What does he say? I have seen my people's affliction in Mitzrayim. V'tzakatam shamati mibnei nogesav ki yadati machovav. I've heard their pain. I know their affliction. Now, let's play a little game here. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. You're hearing this. What's your reaction? What?
Why don't
you do anything? Well, clearly, if God's talking to me, maybe there's something happening, so let's find out. So the next thing would be, so what? Right? Asma. Va'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim. What does Hashem say? I am now going to come down to save him from Mitzrayim. U'lahaloto mina aretz ahi, al aretz avar chavar, al aretz avar chalav u'dvash, and l'kol ha'kani v'chitiv ha'mi p'ziv ha'chiviv ha'yvusi. I am coming down to save him, Mitzrayim, and I'm going to bring him up to the beautiful land, etc., etc.
Is that the first time they mentioned the different nations?
Yeah. Now,
I mean, was that why, necessary?
If, not germane to what we're looking at. Moshe, Hashem says, I'm going to go down, and I'm going to bring them up. Does that remind you of something? It's exactly what Hashem said to Yaakov. I'm going to go down with you, and I'm going to bring you up. The same exact words. Anochi eredimcha, v'anochi alcha gamalo, v'ered lahatzilo ulahaloto. It's as if Yaakov's life is now being macro repeated. Okay, with the same.
What's Moshe's role at this point?
Exactly. Thank you. Now, at this point, what does Moshe say? It's about time, or else shkoyach, or else good to hear. That's all. Right? V'yata, and by the way, what does V'yata mean?
Achsham.
What?
Isn't it Achsham?
Yeah, which means, and now, which means you're ready to hear, like the other Jew drop, you think something's going to happen. Hinei tzakap ne'ezwab ma'ilai. I've heard, so V'yata here works a little differently than most. Usually V'yata is a consequence. This happened, therefore this all happened. Here V'yata is sort of explaining, why now? In other words, like you said, where you been? Why now? Because now B'nai Israel's cries come up to me. Evidently, the cries weren't loud enough. They weren't enough pain. Whatever, we see this throughout Sefer Shoftim. Gam ra'iti et halachatz asher Mitzrayim lochatzim otam. I see all of the affliction, the pressure that Egypt's putting on them. Good.
Why did they repeat it all? Why didn't they say that the first time?
Maybe here's explaining why now. But now, here's the trick. Here's a rhetorical trick. It's what, in another context, Robert Alter refers to as rhetorical entrapment. In other words, you hear a word and you feel a certain way about it, and then you get maybe your guard down, and then the same word comes back and slaps you, right? Ve'ata, which till now has been pretty safe. Mochavesh lachacha paro. You have to realize what a tremendous shift those words are. Because up until now, what's happened? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I know B'nai Yisrael in pain, I'm going to go down and save them. I'm doing it now because now their cries are so loud I'm hearing them in such terrible pain. And then what does he turn around and said? You go. You realize that if you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you're listening to this fresh, not knowing how the rest of the story is going to play out, this is a shock. What do you mean, l'chak? So watch how the next pieces play out. V'eshlachachayel paro, I'm going to send you to paro. V'otzi'atam yivnei Yisrael mimitzrayim. Take my people out. At which Moshe could simply turn around and say, okay, they're your people, so you take them out, right? All right. Now, this is the first time Moshe speaks up. Why? Because the first time he's been asked anything. Not asked, been told. Moshe el Elohim, mi anochi ki elecho paro. Now, usually we read that statement as being humility. I'm not worthy. Which may lead to get somebody who's more worthy. But maybe mi anochi ki elecho paro means, why picking a person? Why me? Why any person? In other words, you said you'd take him out, take him out. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to that, which is, I'll be with you. How does that help?
Now
I am taking him out, but through you. Right? Now, I've always wondered about this phrase. Here's the sign that I sent you. Now, normally, when I want to ask you to do something difficult and you're afraid, if I want to give you confidence, at what point must I give you confidence? Before you jump out of the plane. Right? Before you attach the bungee cord from the bridge. I have to give you the confidence before. Hashem says, and here's the sign that I've sent you. when you leave Mitzrayim, you'll come and do worship here. It's a little problematic. The timing's off. Maybe what he means to say is, this entire thing is not a human mission. It's a divine mission. And it's all going to play out because the purpose of this mission is not just to get free. It's to come here and worship Hashem. All right, very good. That's not good enough from Moshe. Moshe's still not happy. Not even close. Moshe El Elohim. By the way, in these negotiations, who's winning?
Well, God is.
Moshe's winning all the way. How do I know Moshe's winning?
Because
if God were winning, I would say, go and leave me alone. Go. Instead, okay, I'll give you a promise. Gets it? Okay.
You could look at it the opposite, and you could say Moshe's not winning because he keeps coming up with excuses and God keeps deflecting them.
I don't think he's deflecting. Watch. Very good. So you're sending me. So I'm going to come to Bnei Yisrael. By the way, who are they? They are Bnei Yisrael. They have a tradition. They've been there for a long time. They're direct descendants. They've got the family together. Who am I? I'm an Egyptian who's been out in the desert for the last however many decades. Right? So I'm going to come to them as an outsider. Ve'amruli mashmo. I'm going to come and say, your God appeared to me and told me to take you out. Yeah, right. Have you ever heard of Mashiach Sheker? We have a whole history of Mashiach Sheker, false messiahs. There's another one. Ma'omar Aleihem. So when they ask me your name, because you're saying you'd be with me. Well, if you're with me, I should at least know your name.
But by the way, that's why he's capitulating now, because now he's already putting himself down.
Who's capitulating?
Moshe.
No, God is. Watch. Moshe's saying, I need this. And God says, okay, I'll give you this too. Vayomer Aleihem Moshe, yeah, sure, yeah. Which, simple read of that is, I don't have a name, I am. But then God turns Eya into a name. It's delightful. Vayomer ko tomar al bnei Yisrael Eya shlachani aleichem. Eya becomes a name. Okay, so now it should be good. Hashem, I'm sending you Moshe, but I'm with you, and we are intimate. You know my name, so you won't appear to bnei Yisrael like some sort of a false outsider. Nah. Vayomer od Elohim Moshe ko tomar al bnei Yisrael. Now listen carefully. I'm giving you some more inside information to give you your bona fides when you come to them. Adonai Elohei Avotechem, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Shtachani Aleichem. By the way, these are not the words that Hashem is saying to Moshe. These are the words Hashem is telling Moshe to say to them. When you come to them, here's what you got to say. You have to use my name and identify me as the God of their ancestors and name them. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? Shtachani Aleichem, Zeshmi Leolam, Zezichri Lador Dor. Which means, unlike maybe some of the local gods that keep shifting the names and everything else, this has been my name the whole time. This is the name that they know me by, that their ancestors know me by. You can get in the door. And then, Lech v'yasav tzadik ne Yisrael. So by the way, beforehand he said, go to Paro. But now, Moshe's kind of weakened here. And I don't mean weakened in negotiation, weakened in his resolve and his readiness. So Hashem said, okay, first, start by going to Zikne Yisrael. And what do you say to them? Martaliyam Adonai Elohei Avotechem Nirai Elai Elohei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Lemor. Get ready. Pakod Pakadeti Etchem V'Tasui Lachem Mitzrayim. Why is Hashem giving him all this dialogue? Because Hashem is trying to give him an entrance into history and into being a true divine agent. Because what did Yosef say? Pakod Yifkod Elohim Etchem. That's what God's going to do. What did God say before? I'm going to go, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, I will bring you out. So now when Moshe is aping those words, if you will, he essentially is representing God. Okay? Still not good enough. Va'omar, a'ale etchem yonim Mitzrayim, 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 I promise you, they'll listen to you. They'll listen. Because what's Moshe afraid of? Why would they listen to me? I'm an outsider. I don't know the name of this God. I don't know all of the secret codes. Okay, now I'm giving you the name. This is good. You got it all. So now, by the way, the strategy has shifted, which, by the way, shows you Moshe is winning. The strategy has shifted because instead of it being you go to Paro, it's now you go to Zikne Yisrael and now go as a contingent together to Paro, but they'll listen to you. And here's what you say to Paro. You all say to Paro, Adonai Elohei Avrim Nikra Aleinu. V'yata Nachan Nederech Shosh Tamim Bamidbar Nizbachal Adonai Eloheinu, the famous three-day thing. V'ani Adati, V'ani Adati, Ki Lo Yiten Etchem Melech Mitzrayim La'aloch V'lo B'yad Chazakah. And what does Hashem say? I know that this will not be easy. Paro is going to deny you. V'shalachti et adi v'keitet mitzrayim v'chol niflotai asher aseh b'kirbo v'atachrein shlach etchem. So there'll be a process of attacking and of war and everything else is going to go on, and then I'll send you. Yeah.
But the 3 days doesn't really answer the pakot pakanati.
Right. He's just saying this has nothing to do with it. Here's what you say to Paro. Okay? And why the 3 days is a whole different story.
Wouldn't Moshe be curious why 3 days?
Maybe, but again, we're trying to read the conversation between the two of them. ונתתי אל חן העם הזה בעיני מצרים, והיה כי תלכון לא תלכו ריקם, ושאלה משם משכנתם, מגרד פתק, לחז וחז ועבו שמאלו, וצמתם אמניכם ועבדיכם, ונצלתם את מצרים. All right, so this is now giving us a little bit further into how the story is going to play out, which might not have been the original plan. The original plan might have been, you go to Paro, say, and lead them out as is. Now there's going to be a protracted war, and there's going to be attack, and maybe that's because things have weakened a little bit, and now instead of you coming in forcefully to Paro, you need all the Israel to come with you, which means you have to prove yourself to them, it's going to take time, and then there's going to be this whole Makot thing, and so in compensation for that, however it works out, it's longer. At this point, Moshe should say, okay, I'm ready to go as your representative. Vayan Moshe vayomer vehein lo yaminu li v'leish mamukoli. Why? Because everything you've given me is words. I could have heard those words from somebody else. I could be a false prophet. Why should they believe me? So what does Hashem say? What do you got in your hand? Staff. Throw it on the ground. Okay, and we know. He gives him the sign of the staff. And then in Pasuk and notice he says, now grab the tail. It turns back into a staff. In other words, you're not doing this for yourself. You're not doing this for Paro, by the way. You're doing this to Zignei Israel, so they'll know that I'm not some guy who stole some names and stole some information, identity theft or whatever. We've raised it. Moshe is not just some guy going to say, let him go. He's not just some guy who knows God's name. He's not just some guy who knows the code. He's a guy who actually can do divine stuff.
Would
miracles.
Would you have known that the magicians could do that back in Egypt?
We don't know. Why would he know? He's been out in the desert all this time. ויאמר אדוני לו נאוד, הבין אדוניך בחיקך, ויעבד לו בחיקו, וצמין הידוע מצוין כשלג. Right, and then the second sign is the tzarat. What's that for? If they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. Why? What's the symbolism of the signs? That's a whole shiur by itself. Alright, and if they don't like either one of these signs, then take some water, throw it on the ground. This is for Bnei Israel, not for the Paro. And it'll turn into blood on the ground. At this point, what should happen? At this point, Moshe should say, what should Moshe say at this point?
Okay.
And I've got everything. I've got the miracles, I got the name, I got the code, I got all this. Be Adonai, please. Lo ish dvarim anochi. Because what's Moshe's point the whole time driving him through? Who should be redeeming Bnei Israel? You should. You are the Ish Dvarim. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. You're the Ish Dvarim, not me. Gam mitmo, gam mishoshom, gam miyazdaber chalavdecha. I could be the holiest person in the world. I could be the most godly person in the world. Somebody that you speak to on a regular basis, and I'm still not worthy. This is only your job. So don't appoint me. Don't appoint anybody. You do it. What does that mean? By virtue of my being a human being, I'm heavy of mouth. Right? So what does Hashem answer? Who do you think is in charge of abilities and disabilities? That's me. And how does that help? How does that answer the question? Because Moshe attacks on every front. It should be God redeeming. It has to be something miracles, etc., etc. God's given all that. He says, but we need a divine speaker. I'm not a divine speaker. And Hashem says, who do you think gives you speech? And I will guide you through the speech. I'll tell you exactly what to say. You don't have to be erudite. Just say the words I tell you. What's Moshe's answer? Which we interpret as being, send the one you usually send. And that's the whole Aaron piece. But that's not what the words say. What do the words say? Shlach na biyad tishlach. Send a messenger. Well, isn't that what Hashem is saying to him? So watch the end of it. It's really wild. Because, again, the whole point this time is Hashem has been telling Moshe to go, and Moshe has been saying, you should redeem the people. That's why I started. You said you're coming down to redeem them. You should redeem. This is divine redemption, not a human redemption. You should redeem. And Hashem says, okay, here's my name. Okay, here's the code. Okay, here's some miracles. Right? All of that. I'll tell you what to say. But I'll be with you. But you go. And Moshe says, no, it's got to be a divine redemption. So watch what happens here. And it's a wonderful, fantastic thing, excuse me for saying so, that sort of backfires, as you'll see. I ask this question before we see to the end of this. Throughout the travels in the Midbar, Bnei Israel, once in a while, complain. You've heard of such things. When they complain, what do they say?
We were better off in Egypt.
Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? You know what they never say? Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? That was an emotion in Aaron. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to kill us in the desert? Aren't there enough graves in Egypt? You had to take us here to the sea to drown. You. And by the way, when the Moshe goes up to the mountain and doesn't come down, they are leaderless. As far as they're concerned, who took him out of Mitzrayim? You understand the emphasis of the Seder of removing Moshe from the story. Because Moshe is central to the story, but here's where things turn around. Watch the very end of this. God gets angry at Moshe. And this, Jason, I think, is exactly where we see Moshe wins. He says, Aaron is a speaker. He's somebody who will speak. Doesn't mean he speaks better than you. He's somebody who will speak. Which is critical because who's older, Aaron or Moshe? Aaron. But even so, Aaron will be happy at your revelation, meaning Aaron's not going to be jealous. And as a result of that, the next piece of this story can play out. He'll be happy to see you, and he's not going to be jealous, even though he's older than you, that you got a greater position, that you're higher up, closer to God. He's not going to be upset, which will allow the next scene to play out. V'dibartai lav. What does v'dibartai lav mean? What you do? You, Moshe, just like I'm speaking to you. You speak to him. By the way, what did Hashem just tell Moshe? I'll put the words in your mouth. Now what does Hashem say to Moshe? You put the words in his mouth. And I'll be with both of you. This is like kind of like Birchat Kohanim. I'll show you both what to do. And this pasuk puts it all together. He'll speak on your behalf to the people. Vayahu yelachalafe, he'll be your mouthpiece, your mouth. Vata tielo Elohim. So what am I turning you into, Moshe? I'm turning you into sort of a deity. You're the Elohim. And he's going to be your Navi. Later on we hear, Va'aron achicha yenaviyacha. Atatia Elohim lefaro va'aron achicha will be your Navi. So, Moshe, I'm giving you exactly what you asked for. I'm giving you a divine redemption. But you're my agent to be the divine redemption. And the entire setup now is Aaron plays the role of Navi, spokesperson. And Moshe plays the role of the one calling the shots. And so, in a sense, the way that this entire scene started out, with Hashem saying, I'm going to go down and redeem them. And then he turns to Moshe, it's like, you go ahead. Moshe says, no, you're supposed to. Right? So, well, I'll be with you. Yeah, but they'll ask me what your name is. Okay, here's my name. Yeah, I know, but they're not going to believe me. Here's the code. Okay? But it's not going to work so well. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process. So they won't believe me. Here's a stick. I can't speak that well. Right? So what happens in the end? Moshe actually wins. It becomes a divine redemption where God takes the people out himself, playing the role of God, Moshe Rabbeinu. Playing the role of Navi, Aaron HaKohen, Aaron Achicha. And in the end, that's how it plays out. And the promise to Yaakov, Anochi Eredim Chamitzrayma, Anochi Alcha Gamalo, now becomes actuated. This identity of Moshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course is super dangerous, is something that we see at the pinnacle of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which is Kriyat Yam Suf. How does the phrase before Shirat Hayam go? Vayaminu Badunai Umoshe Avdo. Their trust, their belief, their faith in Moshe is almost equated to that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why throughout the Midbar, this is the backfiring part, why'd you take us out? And Moshe is the one who turns to Hashem and says, look, they keep scratching, what do you want me to do? They're going to kill me. But this, I think, is the heart and soul of what's going on in this entire dialogue. And when Moshe says, lo yishtvayim anochi, he doesn't mean me and somebody else is better. He means I'm a person. This should be God taking me out. A human being is limited in what he can say and how he can speak.